Well, good morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, open them up to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 this morning. That's on page 810. It's where we did the scripture reading. And we're going to read, I'm going to start by reading verse 37 down to verse 42 as we start. That's where we're going to be today. Not going to take it to 45. I just decided to split it up. So look at verse 37, Luke chapter 6 and verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that's in your eye," when you yourself did not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that is in your brother's eye. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be here today to sing praises to your name, to worship together. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunities you're giving us. We pray even today as we think about later this afternoon as we hand out school supplies to the community and Bibles. Lord, we pray that your word would do a great impact. We trust the power of you working through the word, and so we pray, Lord, that it would happen even today through the message and later on as well as we interact with those from the community. We thank you that you're a good God, and may we come to this passage asking you, Lord, what you're trying to teach us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It's our third week now on this sermon of Jesus, which started all the way back in verse number 20. We're actually going to spend 5 weeks total on this sermon. I really wanted to slow it down a little bit quicker. It's a little bit longer than I thought we were going to be in this sermon, but I think that there's so much here. I don't want us to miss some of the gems of what Jesus is trying to teach us. And as we start the message this morning, I just want to remind you who the message is directed at. Look at verse 20. Jesus lifts up his eyes on his disciples. The focus of what Jesus has to say here in verses 20 to the end of the chapter is really aimed at those who were disciples, who were there, who were proclaiming to follow him. And of course, by extension, applies to all of us who say we follow Jesus, all of us who say we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important for all of us. Now, what he has to say is important for everybody in the world, but its aim is specifically at those who follow Christ. That's why the focus of the message, the focus of what Jesus has to say in this message is aimed specifically at those who follow Christ to be a certain way as a follower of Christ. He's not telling us how to become a follower of Christ, but he's telling us this is what you're to look like if you are a follower of me. If you say you follow Jesus, then this is the call on your life and how you're to live. Now, I know none of us are going to be perfect at this, but this is what we ought to strive to become like, to live in the way he outlines for us. What's interesting as you look at this sermon, as you look at the outline of this sermon, and you read through this sermon, is how much of Jesus' teaching here focuses on how we handle others, how we handle other people. The first two major sections of the sermon, you have the introduction, verses 20 through 26, with the Beatitudes, the Blesseds, and the Woes in that section. And then the first two, really, heart of the message is focused on how we handle others, which makes the majority of what Jesus has to say here about us as disciples is focused on how we're handling one another. It started last week, verse 27, look at it, to verse 36, and it continues this week in verse 37 through 42. 2, the call not to judge. Verse 27 through 36, it was focused on loving our enemies. Now in 37 through 42, it's focused on not judging. So just think about that for a second. The first major message we have from Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we have a little snippet earlier, is focused on our relationships with others. The majority of it is how you handle other people. This is a sermon zeroed in, by the way, on what it means to look like as a disciple of Jesus, and then it spends a lot of its energy telling you how to handle other people. The simple fact of the matter is this: how you handle others is a clear indicator of how well you're following Jesus Christ. Our relationship with others reveals our relationship with the Lord. The Bible makes this clear over and over and over. Paul says something really interesting in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, the writer Paul's, after talking to the church about how they're to use their freedom in Christ to serve one another, he makes a really interesting statement. He says in chapter 5, verse 14, "For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now, if I were the writer of that book, if I were Paul, and someone were to ask me what fulfills the whole law, I would probably say something different. I would say, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But Paul goes right there to loving others because it reminds us of this intimate connection that we have between loving God and loving others. How you love your neighbor and how you love other people, those around you, reveals how well you really love the Lord. You can't separate the two. That's why Jesus put both commandments side by side when he was asked, what's the greatest commandment? He says in Matthew 22, 37 through 40, he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." If you love the Lord, you will love others. 1 John chapter 4, verse 20 through 21. If anyone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he's not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. Your relationship with others reveals your relationship with the Lord. And in our passage, it reveals how one is truly, whether or not they're truly following Christ as his disciple. Now, before we get back to Jesus' words here, just think about that for a minute. Just let that sink in a little. You might be active in Bible studies 5 days a week. You might be reading the Bible every day, studying this or that, thinking about that as being the measure of your spiritual growth, whether or not you attend church or whatever. But if you're filled with a critical spirit towards others, as our passage will indicate, or you just don't love other people and you don't love other Christians, something is seriously wrong, according to what Jesus has to say here. No matter how well you can recite the Bible in its contents or map out the end times with a chart, how we handle others reveals how we're walking with the Lord and how we are truly following Jesus. That's why your home is so important, because guess what? You can put on the smiling face at church for 2 hours on Sunday. It's easy. We're pretty good at it, too. But at home, the real you comes out. I'm going to tell you right now, if you come into my church office for marriage counseling, which is, I'm more than happy to have you come in, one of the things I'm going to say is, if you're struggling to love each other, guess what? You just don't love Jesus. You're not going to like that. Nobody likes to hear that. But the fact of the matter is, if we love Jesus, we will move towards each other in love. In verses 27 through 36, he was focused on loving our enemies. Those who follow Christ truly will reveal that by loving our enemies. Now in 37 through 42, The focus is not on loving our enemies, but it's really our stance, kind of, you could say, towards others, especially, I think, in the context, those who we're going to consider sinners, as I'll try to show you this morning. How do you handle them? How do you look at others? What is our calling towards others? Well, you see it in verse 37 and 38. Here's our call. Our call in verse 37 and 38. Look at verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Jesus says, don't do these two things. You see that in verse 37? Judge not, condemn not, and do these two things. Verse 37, the end there, forgive, and verse 38, give. All these commandments here are meant to be taken together as a group. Right? They're signifying a single idea. It's easy to go to Matthew 7, if you're looking at your cross-references and you notice Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount, and think that what he's saying in Matthew 7 is identical to what he's getting at here in Luke chapter 6. Matthew 7 is identifying a critical spirit in particular, reminding us very similarly what we'll see here, that you know you get measured with the same level of judgment you use on others. But he's not getting at exactly the same avenue, I would say, here in Luke 6. It's a little bit more nuanced. Now, what he's not saying here in verse 37, judge not and condemn not, and you see in Matthew 7 as well, is that we're not supposed to be practicing discernment. He's not getting at the fact that we can't look at someone and say, hey, I did notice a speck in your life, because you're going to see that in chapter 6 here, verses 41 through 42. At the end of it, he says, you can go after the speck, just deal with the beam in your own life. So he's not saying don't judge in general. You hear that all the time. Don't judge. But rather, he's addressing more as he gets down here in this section, in this cumulative effect of judge not and condemn not, and cumulative the other direction, forgive in verse 37 and verse 38, give. What he's doing there is to really address a holier-than-thou mentality. That's what he's getting at. Forgiving, the idea of releasing, it's a very general word. We usually focus in on forgive, but it's a very general sense of being forgiving or releasing and giving in verse 38 of generous, be giving, be willing to release others, be willing to give freely to others, be generous to them. And what he's saying here is you put the judge not and condemn not with the forgive and the give, is he's pulling together these ideas to basically say, don't look down on other people. Have a generous attitude, you might say, towards them. It's the type of attitude that he's confronting that we see in Isaiah 65, verse 5. And in Isaiah 65, he's addressing Israel. The Lord's addressing Israel, and he lists all these things that show that they're a rebellious people. And what he says in verse 5 is the type of attitude he's addressing here. Those who say, rebellious people are those who say, keep to yourself, don't come near me, for I'm too holy for you. I'm too holy for you. I'm better than you. I'm over you. Stay away from me. That's the type of attitude that Jesus is addressing here in verses 37 and 38. I like how Daniel Bach put it in his commentary. He says, what is warned against is evaluating others with such a harshness that the result is an unforgiving attitude and an approach that ceases to hold out hope as if someone is beyond God's reach. I'm holier than you. I'm better than you. Of course, that's a direct contrast to the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Look back at chapter 5, verse 29. Chapter 5, verse 29, Levi, who was a tax collector, after following Jesus, makes him a great feast in his house, and there was a large company of tax collectors and others reclining at table with him, which we know were considered sinners. And the Pharisees, notice their attitude, verse 30, holier than thou. The Pharisees and the scribes grumbled at his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? We're better than them. You should be better than them. In this sermon, Jesus is calling each of his disciples to not be the type of people who look down at others and consider them unworthy even of God's grace, beyond the reach of God. We're going to love others. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 5 reminds us, love is not arrogant or rude. does not insist in its own way, it's not irritable, and does not count wrongdoing. Our call is an attitude of love, one that's characterized not by judging, not by condemning, but a generous and forgiveness, a generousness, a giving, a forgiveness in verse 37. Now you notice in each of these commands, he has a second part in verse 37. Judge not, notice, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, second part, you will not be condemned. Forgive, second part, you will be forgiven. Verse 38, give, second part, and it will be given to you. This is all future and forward looking, I would argue here. He's reminding us that a true disciple lives this way. They judge not, they condemn not, they forgive, and they give. And though they may not be perfect at this, these attitudes will be worked into their life as followers of Christ. And because they follow Christ, they will be like this, and they will experience the joy of not being judged. They will experience, verse 37, the joy of not being condemned and being forgiven in verse 38, and it will be given to them. But because they're a follower of Christ, they are a disciple, they look like this. They will follow his commands. So they're not going to shut people out of their ministry and lives from sinners, judging them, looking down on them, but being generous in their attitude towards them, being like Christ who ate with sinners, not condoning their sin, of course, but sharing the good news of the kingdom. So the disciples of Christ, they can experience or expect, you could say, verse 37, that they'll experience the joy and the good news of the kingdom, and so they won't be judged in the last day. They won't be condemned. They will experience true forgiveness. And of course, they will experience the generosity of God towards them in verse 38. And look what he says in verse 38. Give and it will be given to you good measure. This is referring to all the benefits, the forgiveness of Christ as well, the lack of judgment from God in the end because of Christ, the lack of condemnation because of Christ, the giving that we receive. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. Right? The idea there, best way to describe it, I mean, you do it, maybe you don't do it. Some of you probably don't clean your leaves. But if you clean your leaves and put them in a bag, what do? Right? You teach your kids, you don't just put the bag and close it once you fill it. Right? What do? You press it down, give it a good shake, put as much as you can, get rid of the air, and keep filling it as much as you can. And that's the picture there, right? You get filled by the generosity and grace and goodness of God, so much so that, you know, you think you can't fit more, and he pushes it down and puts some more in there. There's more than you can imagine that's coming from the graciousness of God to you. So he says in verse 38, for with the measure you will use, it will be measured back to you. So Jesus is reminding, we do all these things. You can do all these things. You can do all these hard things because we know what's coming for us is much greater and much more of a blessing than we could ever imagine. Of course, it's generally true, right? You treat others how you want to be treated, and that usually helps out. Some of you might want to learn that when you're working with people in retail, right? How you handle them, they're probably going to handle you. That's a general principle. But the emphasis here is on the reward from Christ, because it's all future-looking in this passage. What an incentive, the reward of Christ. I mean, you can do the hard things like loving your enemies, being gracious towards sinners, because we know the blessings that come. Make pale in comparison the hardship and difficulties we experience today. Of course, by implication, if we're not willing to start not judging and not condemning and seeking forgiveness and being generous and giving towards, if we fail to do this, we've got to ask the question, are we really following Christ? I'm not saying perfectly, but if we're not moving these directions, are we really following Christ? Are we? So our call in this passage is not judge or condemn, but forgive and give. Then look what he says in verse 39 through 40.
It says in verse 39, he also told them a parable, and parable has the idea of a story usually, but it also can mean proverbial type language, short saying of wisdom. That's what we're going to find in verse 39 and verse number 40 here. He starts now in verse 39 and 40 to give us a reminder. Here's our reminder. Look at verse 39. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Well, yeah, but not very effectively. That's the idea, right? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple, verse 40, is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. Now, these might seem like random verses, kind of thrown in there out of nowhere, but he's reminding them of something very important. You need to follow Jesus if you want to become like Jesus. That's really what he's getting at. The call to love one's enemies, the call to not be judgmental, but gracious and forgiving, these are high calls, well beyond what is normal for us as human beings. They seem beyond us. And the temptation for any person is to first walk blindly by ourselves. We try to be, like you see in verse 39, a blind man who just starts leading the way, a blind person who starts to forge ahead. We might attempt to live our discipleship out blindly on our own. And of course, walking in the dark because we can't see in front of us. And furthermore, we'd be tempted to follow the wrong person rather than Christ himself. That's the warning in verse 39. The whole point of these verses is to follow Christ. You need to follow Christ. You need to live asking the question. It's a really good question that unfortunately we got used to because of all the bracelets in the 90s, if you were around. What would Jesus do? But we really need to ask that question. I mean, how often do you ask that question in your life about anything? What would Jesus do here? What would Jesus have me to live like or respond like or act like in this situation? To me, it's amazing how many professing Christians walk blindly in their life by not looking to Christ at all or following Scripture at all. Of course, the disciples at that time, verse 39, would be tempted to follow the religious leaders of the time, who Jesus constantly calls blind throughout the Gospels. He calls the religious leaders of the day blind. Don't follow them. But verse 40, what are they to do? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he's fully trained, will be like his teacher. You get the idea, right? What applies to the teacher applies to the disciple. It's reverse how we usually think, right? Don't you hate it as a teacher when your teacher grades you really strict on something and then they go and do what they told you not to do? It's really annoying. Or your boss does that. But it's the other way around. In other words, if you say you follow the teacher, then you're going to follow what the teacher does. You're not better than the teacher. You're not greater than the teacher. That's the idea of verse 40, implying what? That this is how Jesus lived in his life, and we say we follow him. What makes us think we can't follow him? What makes us think we don't have to love our enemies? What makes us think we don't have to forgive? That we can judge, that we can condemn. So if you follow Christ, you will be like your teacher. You then, notice the end of the verse, verse 40, everyone when he's fully trained will be like his teacher. Continue to follow Christ and you will become like Christ. These high callings are so difficult. I don't know about you. Delivering last week's message was not, like, in the list of, like, I can't wait to preach this, last week was not up there. Because the high calling of loving our enemies, I know I fall far short of that. I know I far fall short of the attitudes that he's expressing in verse 37, 38. I know I fall. I know I got beams I got to work on in verse 41 and 42. I guess that was funny. My family's like, yeah, because they were the ones laughing. But a reminder of verse number 40 is just keep following Jesus, and when he's fully trained, you'll keep becoming more and more like Jesus. But if you're blind, going at it yourself or relying on everyone else rather than the great teacher Jesus and following him, you're going to be eventually falling into a trap, into a hole, into a pit. Can't lead. Blind men can't lead blind men. Follow Christ. It's all these verses are for in verse 39 and 40 is a reminder to follow Christ. Are you following Christ this morning? That brings us now to the last two verses. Once again, Jesus goes back to condemning, you could say, and judging in verses 41 and 42. Looked at our call, our reminder, and now verse 41 and 42, our attitude. There's a call to not judge, a call to not condemn, but rather to be forgiving and to be generous. And now these verses, really, 41 and 42, give us the attitude we need in order to live the way that Jesus is calling us. Verse 41, you can get the picture, right? It's not hard. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? I mean, you get the picture, right? Verse 42, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck that's in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck that's in your brother's eye. Verse 41, it's not hard to get the picture, right? And the word for log is more like a beam. This is a great picture of the idea of the word beam. It was actually a word that would be used to support almost like another level. It was a support beam. So we're not talking like a little log, like a little Lincoln log you used to play with, right? We're talking a beam. And speck, that kind of gets to the heart. Piece of sawdust is the idea there. And so here you are, you got this massive beam, which you can't even illustrate because it's so big, coming out of our eye, and we're really good at seeing the sawdust in other people's lives. Really great at it. And so this guy comes over. Can you imagine that? He's got this beam. I can't, like, there's just no visual way to do this. But literally comes over with a 12-foot beam coming out of his eye and says, hey, I see the speck. You know, you got a little something in your eye there. Don't know if you noticed that. And he uses the word beam, which is interesting. He says, why do you see a speck in your, not notice the log it's in your own eye? You do not see, verse 42, when you yourself do not see the log in your own eye. You're not spending enough time to see. You should see the beam is the point. The beam is noticeable. That's the point here. You noticeably have things in your life that need to be dealt with. And you're choosing not to look at it. But go after the speck in someone else's eye. Jesus has words for that type of person. Verse 42, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. In their own self-righteousness is calling out others, and they need to clearly be dealing with their own sin. Now, again, I've heard people use these verses to be afraid to speak the truth to others because we know we're not perfect. You know, let the first person be perfect, come up here and preach. No one's going to do it. You think I hate coming up on Sundays sometimes. It's like, man, I got to listen to what I'm preaching. Hey, this week was brutal. That was like, yep, okay, I got some beams to work on here through the grace of God. We know we aren't perfect. And so, well, I'm not gonna talk about the speck. No, that's not the point of the passage, right? The point of the passage is confronting a judgmental attitude, a person who does not deal with their own sin. That's the point of the passage. But they don't deal with their own sin, but they're all about dealing with other people's sin. That's the type of attitude Jesus is going after here. They're the critical people. People who are constantly telling people their faults, thinking that they're better. People who look at sinners and think, we're better off. I would never do whatever they do. Ever. It takes an attitude, verses 41 and 42, to recognize one's own sin, knowing that you're a sinner who's not better than others, who not be one who judges. That's the person that will not judge. That's the person that will not condemn. That's the person that will freely forgive. That's the person that will freely give in verse 38. It takes someone with an attitude who is willing to deal with beams in their eyes in order to follow verses 37 and 38. Person who knows, but by the grace of God, so I would go. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I would fall into any number of sins that I think are disgusting. If it wasn't for the grace of God. What Jesus is saying here in verse 41 and 42, in short, is that we just need to be humble. It's a call to humility, a humbleness to deal with our own sin in our own lives before we start nitpicking out the sin in other people's lives. When I was reading through this, it's like, this is David in the Old Testament. You remember the story of David and Bathsheba, right? I mean, just to remind you, he should have gone out to war. The writer of Samuel makes it very clear he should have been out to war. That's his first problem. Second problem is he goes after a woman that he should not go after. It's one of his greatest downfalls. He commits adultery, commits murder, forsakes his kingdom. Nathan comes in, strolling in 2 Samuel 12, tells him a story. Hey, David, let me tell you a story. There's a poor man that has one lamb. That's it. There's a rich man. He's got tons of lambs. But a traveler comes, and the rich man, rather than take from his own lambs, goes and grabs that one poor man's lamb, slaughters it for the feast. David just loses it. Who is he? How could he do that? And meanwhile, David's got a beam sticking out of his eye. David says in 2 Samuel 12, 5 through 6, David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this deserves to die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." I don't know if it's true for you, but for me, I'm the most judgmental against other people's sins when I'm not dealing with my own. I don't know if you find that true, but I know that's true in my heart. I get ticked at other people's sins the most when I'm not dealing with the beams in my own life. And you see that with David. He's furious. And of course, Nathan responds, 2 Samuel 12, verse 7, "You are the man. You are the man." And immediately, through God's grace, David knew it. And the beam that was there all along, the Holy Spirit revealed. And praise the Lord, we have Psalm 51, because we would look at David and say, there's no hope for David. But the Lord doesn't look like that. Lord forgives. And so Psalm 51 is a confession of David. You should read it sometime, where he just pours out his heart to the Lord, and the Lord restored him, which is, it's just an important reminder for all of us that there's no sin beyond the grace of God. There's no sin beyond the grace of God. But that story is so illustrative of what Jesus is saying here in verses 41 and 42. Too often, we've got beams protruding out of our eyes, and we keep calling out sin and sin in the lives of others. With an attitude of humility, we should be dealing with our own sin. Follow the instruction of the Lord here in verses 41 and 42 to not be judgmental, but willing to forgive. Listen, I'm just going to do a little counseling this morning, if you don't mind. The reason that some of you might struggle to forgive people is because you've forgotten how much you've been forgiven. You've forgotten how many beams the Lord has pulled out of your life. And at that moment, you stand in 37 of judging those in front of you and condemning them and thinking, how in the world could they ever have done this? But we think we're better than we are. We forget about the beams that are in our eye, including that beam of unwillingness to forgive, by the way. Most likely, if you struggle with forgiving others, you're probably in the crosshairs of who Jesus is addressing here today. I just ask you a quick question as a church. When's the last time you ever asked someone to forgive you? Get that log out. Get that beam out. Think of how often we might be willing to confront another in their sin, but never done the hard work of getting those beams out in our life. It's not perfection. It's not perfection. We're a bunch of beam people. We should be beaming it all the time. Get rid of those beams. Help each other. I know I got my beam. You see your beam. All right, let's work together to get these beams out. But I've been involved in ministry for over 15 years now, and church generally has no problem with being spec inspectors. Really good at it. We do struggle at times to be beam-aware people. Jesus gets right to the heart of the matter. If you're going to follow him, if you're going to be a not, if you're not going to be a blind person taking the lead or following blindly someone else, If you're going to truly become like him, become like our teacher, then we'll be characterized by generosity in verse 38 and forgiveness in verse 37. We'll not be characterized by looking down on others or thinking that anyone is beyond the grace of God. And the only way that that's going to come is if we start developing a culture of beam pulling out. So let's get busy on the beams, all for the glory and grace of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this really challenging, it's challenging. Like we admit, Lord, we are beam people. That's why we sing songs like we do, because Christ is our only hope in life and death, because we have so many beams. But Lord, by your grace, reveal those beams to us, and may we be a people committed to dealing with those beams and helping one another with the specks. Because we love you and we want to become like our teacher, Jesus. All to the praise and honor and glory of your name we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand together.